Please open your Bibles to the book of John, chapter 14. The 14th chapter of John in your Scofield Reference Bible, page 1135. We'll read that familiar passage, verses 1 through 6. We'll read the verses responsively. And may we stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Let's pray. Father, wonderful is our opportunity once again to hear your word preached. Of course, there are a lot of places throughout this land and around the world where your word is preached by faithful preachers, but we get to be in this place. This is a special place. And thank you for our preacher, and thank you for that which we will hear tonight. It's from thee. Help us to accept it as such. And thank you for that wonderful subject of heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to speak tonight on the subject, heaven is a place. Heaven is a place. I would like, and I've wanted through these many years, to convince you that heaven is just as real as Hammond, nearly as pretty. And I really somehow feel like most of us have never grasped the fact that heaven is as real as any city. It's not abstract. It's not, as my old seminary professor said, a bunch of blindfolded spirits in a vacuum. It's not a bunch of people wearing long dresses, everybody long blonde hair, with a magic wand floating around up in the sky, sprinkling spoofle dust everywhere, singing holy, 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 holy. First place, I don't want to wear a dress the rest of my life, for eternity. I don't want to do it. I didn't wear a dress here, won't wear a dress there, I'll guarantee you. And I'm not going to have long blonde hair. Doesn't sound bad, but I want to talk to you tonight about heaven as a place. And I want you, when you leave, I want to alleviate your fears about death. Now, I don't want to die. I really don't. I'm not afraid of what's going to happen later, but I just don't want to die. First place, I don't want somebody dressing me. It doesn't appeal to me at all. And then, too, by the way, I talked to Brother Alt the other day, our deacon who owns a Boken funeral home, and explained to him how I want my hair done. I'm going to meet with him and give him a few lessons so I'll look normal. Brother John, you better do the same thing, by the way, I would imagine. Because under that haystack, there's just desert. And under that desert, there's just space. But anyway, and I just want tonight to take a while to let you know that it's not real bad at all. Father, bless the message tonight. I surely want to help the dear people. And I pray you'd help me to calm their fears. Please. Amen. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Were not so, I would have told you. Now, he said this to some disciples who were upset. He had just told them about his coming betrayal, denial, and crucifixion. He said, I'm going away. And they were troubled. He said, no, no, hold it now. Don't let your hearts be troubled. And he didn't say, let not your hearts be troubled, ye believers. He didn't do that. He said, now calm it, fellows. Don't let your hearts be troubled. He said, in the first place, believe in God. He said, in the second place, believe also in me. He said, in the third place, in my Father's house are many mansions. And he comforted them by the best way to comfort anybody, to tell them about heaven. This is how his brother went to heaven a couple weeks ago. And she turned to walk away, and she said, he's with mother and daddy now. And she said, by the time I turn around, I'll be there too. So I wanted her to back out to the car. And I know I did. But I ain't turning around again. I didn't know that's what caused it. But I liked the way she worded that. He's with mother and daddy now. And by the time I turn around, I don't mean to like that part. Not the fact that she's going to go in the time she turns around, because she stays turned around all the time. But anyway, I mean, you get our age, it becomes sort of real. I took my sister out to eat Friday night, and no one told me, Earlene, you're about the age Aunt Jimmy was when she went to heaven. And then that dream I had last night about you, I can't get over it, Earlene. But I am almost the age Uncle Roy was when he had his heart attack and went to heaven. Boy, I'll be 70 in 2 years and 3 months. 70, 70, 150, 70, 40 minus 10. That sounds better. But I mean, it sort of gets real. Oh, shut up. And but I mean, it does when you get older. Yeah, people mention that I was saved 13 years ago. I remember when they got saved. I said 13 years from now. How old will I be? 80. I'm preaching on salvation tonight, and. But I want you to know that I'd like, okay, Oliver Douglas is facing surgery tomorrow. I think he's going to be fine. But if he's not, it's not going to be all that bad. I mean, Jesus didn't say, I go to prepare a vacuum for you. I go to prepare a place for you. The word place is used as a place for, as a space for something to occupy. For example, the word place in the Bible is used for concerning a sheath for a sword. In other words, that sheath is the place where that sword is placed. It's used, the word place is used as a chair for a table. Here's a table, and there's a particular spot where that chair is supposed to be. The word place, as it's used in John 14, 2 and 3, is used concerning a room, a certain room in a building. In other words, there's a certain place in that building with that room. I'll check into a motel tomorrow, and if it's room 106, that's the place reserved for me. The word place that is used in John 14 is used concerning a house in a neighborhood. Here is a neighborhood, and here is the space where that house occupies. The word place, as is used in John 14, 2 and 3, is used as for a page in a book, like on page 114. That's the space where that page is located. And when the word place is used, it basically means, it implies something occupying space. Shall we say a solid, if you please? I go to prepare a solid for you. And it implies something that must be in a space. Or it implies something that fills a region or a locality. Now, I'm going to give you 8 reasons tonight why it's a place. Now, listen carefully to me now. I want to encourage you. I want you to leave here tonight thinking that it's not so bad when a person dies and goes to heaven. First place, it is a place because it is in a direction. Elijah was taken up. Heaven is up. Elijah was taken up into heaven. In Acts 7:55, it says, Stephen looked up steadfastly into heaven. In Acts 1:9, it says, Jesus went up into heaven. I mean, heaven is that way. You say, how do you get the post office? It's that way. How do you get Chicago? It's that way. How do you get to heaven? It's that way. Now, if it is that way, by the fact that it is a direction, means it is a place. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 2, Paul speaks about being caught into heaven, and he said he was caught up. Stephen looked up into heaven. Jesus was taken up into heaven. Elijah was taken up into heaven. So heaven is up. That isn't all. Heaven is in the north part of the universe. The north part. Psalm 75:6 says promotion. That word promotion is also translated salvation. Promotion, salvation, it says, cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. It does not say it cometh not from the north, because salvation comes from the north. And the next word, verse 7, says, but God is the judge. It's saying God doesn't live in the south. Oh, I didn't come out right. He lives in the north. Because the north needs him more than the south does. South can get along better. Oh boy, I better be careful. But the Bible says promotion or salvation doesn't come from the east or from the west or from the south. But God is the judge. In Job 26 and verse 7 it says, he stretcheth out the north over empty space. So where is heaven? Heaven is a planet. Heaven's a planet like Jupiter's a planet. Heaven's a planet like Mars is a planet. Heaven is a planet in the constellation. In a constellation, it's in the universe. Heaven is a real planet, and it's in the northern part. Astrologers tell us that there is in the northern part of the planetary system an empty spot, a place where their equipment and machinery and telescopes and so forth cannot see anything. There are stars everywhere, but there's that empty spot up there. Well, that's where heaven is. They say every once in a while, I love this, they say every once in a while that there's a flash comes from that spot. They don't know what it is. I know what it is. Somebody's going to heaven. They're opening the door to welcome them home. And heaven is a place because it is a direction. Hey, my mama tonight is living in a real city, in a real place. Mrs. House's brother a few days ago went to a real city, a real place. And Dr. John Rice is living in a real city, a real place. Not only is heaven a place because of it is in a direction, but heaven is in a place because it has a certain size. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 16 says that heaven is 12,000 furlongs long, 12,000 furlongs wide, and 12,000 furlongs high. A furlong is approximately 1/8 of a mile. You divide 8 into 12,000, you have heaven is 1,500 miles long, and 1,500 miles high, and 1,500 miles wide. Heaven is a cube, and a cube like the Holy of Holies was 15 by 15 by 15. Heaven is a, and that was a symbol of heaven. Heaven is a city that is 1,500 miles long, 1,500 miles wide, and 1,500 miles high. Now, I'm trying to tell you, folks, it's a place. You don't float around up there in space, a bunch of blindfolded spirits in a vacuum, floating around up there, dreaming all the time. No, sir, praise God, I'm going to a place. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. Now, Jesus tells us the size of the city of heaven. It is a place because it is in a direction. Secondly, it is a place because it has a size. Thirdly, heaven is a place because it has a wall. The Bible says in Revelation 21:17 that it has a wall, and that wall is 144 cubits. Now, a cubit is the length of the distance between the bend of the arm here and the tip of the finger. It averages about a foot and a half, about 18 inches. So if the wall around heaven is 144 cubits, that means that wall is 216 feet tall. Now you say, Brother Hiles, heaven has a real wall. That's what God said. He said, well, Brother Hiles, did God mean what he said? If God didn't mean what he said, he'd have said what he meant. Of course he meant what he said. Heaven has a wall. And heaven is a place because it is in a direction. Oh, I wish I could get this to you tonight. Oh, I wish I could sit down beside you ladies that have lost your husbands and let you know that they're living in a city, a real city of 1,500 miles long, 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles high. It's in the northern part of the planetary system. It's a real place that has a real wall. Fourth, heaven is a place because it is in a direction. Heaven is a place because it has a size. Heaven is a place because it has a wall. And heaven is a place because it has 12 gates. I'm talking about gates, like hinges. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, I'm talking about a real gate. Heaven has gates. Heaven has a wall facing the south, a wall facing the north, a wall facing the east, a wall facing the west. And there are three gates in each of those on each side, making 12 gates on each. Each gate is the name of one of the 12 apostles, 12 tribes of Israel. And these are real gates. But that isn't all. It says these gates, 216 feet high, each one, is one big pearl. One big pearl. Somebody said one time to me, they said, boy, what a huge pearl. You think the pearl was big, think about the oyster. I'm saying, folks, heaven is a place. You folks that have your hair is getting white and the years are creeping up on you, don't fret about it a great deal. It's just be a while. We'll just turn around. And where am I? I mean, look, years ago, when I came to Chicago, 35 years ago, we moved up here, my mother, they said, Ms. House, where's your son now? He's up in Hammond, Indiana. And so, oh, up there, they all are blonde and they all wear long robes and or long dresses and they have magic wands and float around. No. No, she said they have real streets up there. They don't have air, but they have soot. But they have real houses up in Hammond. Well, praise God, my mother's gone on somewhere and I'm going to go up there. And my mother used to say, I'm going to Hammond to see my son and his family, and I'm going to heaven to see my mother. I want you to know tonight, I am. When you pass by and look at my old carcass here in the casket, and by the way, if John Alt doesn't make my hair look like it is now, I want the casket. You look first by yourself, and I want the casket sealed. I don't want you seeing what's under here. But praise God, if you, when you, but don't you cry for me. Now you cry for Miss Hiles because she's lost the most wonderful husband in the world. But and you cry for Cindy because she's lost the only good man she knows. But hey, don't cry for me. I mean, I'll be playing tag with the angels. I'll be walking down golden streets and through gates of pearl. Don't cry for me, brother, when I'm gone, because I am going to be in the presence of Jesus himself,
and I'm not going to be up floating around in the air somewhere or in a perennial dream or a soul sleep. Praise God. I will be in a real city, has a real direction, it has a real size, it has real gates, it has real walls, number five, because it has flesh and bone. Flesh and bone. Jesus was raised from the dead. You know the story. And Mary Magdalene came up. Jesus said, "Don't touch me. I've not yet ascended to my Father," and I won't belabor this except to say, he had not yet taken his blood from Calvary and put it on the mercy seat up in heaven. And so he could not be touched because he was acting as the high priest, as the real high priest. And between the time the high priest took the blood and sprinkled in the mercy seat, he could not be touched by the hands of men. And the honest, simple truth is, Jesus said to Mary Magdalene, "I'm going to heaven. I've got my blood." And brother, praise God tonight, and I'll get to this in another sermon, but praise God tonight, the very blood that was shed on Calvary, my mama's looking at it right now, and praising God for the blood that was shed on Calvary. And this John MacArthur garbage that said the blood was shed and is at the foot of the cross today, his heresy, its false teaching, its liberalism. I'm saying, it is not just the blood shed that's necessary for salvation. It's the blood applied that's necessary for salvation. When the Passover lamb was slain on Passover time in Egypt, they had to take that lamb, a male lamb without blemish, and to keep it up and be sure it was without blemish. And then they had to kill that lamb, and his blood was shed. But they said, then take that blood and put it on the doorpost. And when the death angel passes over, he's not going in the backyard to look for a dead carcass. He's going to pass over the front door and look for the blood applied. And bless God, when my Savior died, he took his own blood into heaven and he sprinkled that blood on the mercy seat. And it's not just the shed blood of Christ that saves, it's the applied blood of Christ that saves. Once a year on the Day of Atonement, when the high priest went out here and that animal was sacrificed, he took that blood in that basin and walked inside the Holy of Holies, that little symbol of heaven, 15 feet by 15 feet by 15 feet, and sprinkled that blood on the mercy seat. Now I want you to know, if that blood had stayed there on that altar where that lamb was slain, the sins of God's people would not have been atoned for. The blood must be shed, and the blood must be taken by the high priest and not be touched with the hands of human beings and sprinkled on the mercy seat. And that's exactly what Jesus did 2,000 years ago. As my lamb, he died. As my high priest, he took his own blood and the mercy seat and sprinkled the blood on the mercy seat in heaven, and he shed his blood and applied his blood. But after he had applied that blood, he came back to the upper room, and there were the apostles there. And Thomas said, "I won't believe," supposing him to have been a spirit. "I won't believe until I can touch his hands." And Jesus said, "Go ahead. Touch me." He said, hear me now, he said, "I'm not a spirit. A spirit does not have flesh and bone." The body that Jesus is in tonight has flesh. You can touch it like I'm touching yours. Has no blood because blood, the life of the flesh in the blood. We die because of the sins in the blood, but it has flesh and bone. I mean, I'm not going to go up there and look at some spook when I get to heaven. I am going to see the body of Jesus in the flesh. Heaven is real because it is in a direction. Heaven is real because it has a size. Heaven is real because it has a wall. Heaven is real because it has gates. Heaven is real because it has flesh and bone. Number six, heaven is real because the bodies in heaven can be seen. In Luke 16:23, Abraham was seen in heaven. In Luke 16:23, Lazarus was seen in heaven. Revelation 6:9, the Bible said, the angel said, I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the gospel. I'm saying tonight that you can, the bodies in heaven can be seen. Remember the story in when Jesus was crucified? It says many of the bodies in Jerusalem raised from the dead and walked around the streets of Jerusalem. They were seen. Remember the transfiguration? When Peter, James, and John were caught up on Mount Tabor, and they saw Jesus transfigured in his glorified body, they saw Moses and Elijah. Now, folks, listen to me. Hey, wake up and listen to me. We're not going to some little spook house. We're not going to a Halloween party. We're not going to a floating party. We are going to a real city that has real streets and real walls and real gates and bodies that can be touched and bodies that can be seen. Matthew 17:3, Peter, James, and John saw Moses and Elijah. In 2 Kings chapter 6, Elisha asked God to open the eyes of his servant, and he saw armies encamped around about the city. Real armies that could fight real battles. In 1 Samuel chapter 28, Samuel was in heaven, and Saul saw him. My mother looked up into heaven when she was dying. My mother saw my Aunt Jenny. She saw my Uncle Harvey. She saw my Aunt Uncle Roy. She saw my Aunt Octa. She saw my Uncle Basil. She saw my Aunt Gera. And she pointed to him with a little bony finger on her deathbed and says, "There they are." And then she said, "There are my two children, little Loreen that died when Loreen was 7. And little Hazel that died when Hazel was 7, my mama looked up and she said, "There they are." Don't you call my mama a liar. Dr. John Rice has told me time and time again when his mother died, he was a little lad, I think about 6 years of age. He said, there's my baby. There's my baby. I'm saying heaven is a place because bodies can be seen. And you can be seen. Number 7. Heaven is a place because 2 physical bodies are there now. Bible says Elijah was taken by a whirlwind and a chariot into heaven. And the Bible says, get this, 50 men looked for 3 days to try to find his body. Hey, I mean, that's more people than look for O.J. Simpson the other day. Where's Elijah? Where's his body? Where's his body? His body's in heaven. Now, don't you tell me that this physical body can live somewhere and that's the place to be. Everybody has got to be somewhere. And Elijah had a physical body, and Elijah tonight is in heaven in that physical body. Bible said Enoch walked with God and was not found, for he was translated. And that word translated means he was taken over death and landed on the other side. And Enoch tonight is in heaven. My mama has met Enoch. My mama's met Elijah. Your brother's met Enoch. Your brother's met Elijah. I'm trying to tell you tonight, those 2 physical bodies are in heaven. Look, when you walk by and say goodbye to the body you love and realize that body's gone, but another body's taking its place. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heavens. You sit with the house. The older you get, the happier you seem to get. Looks like to me, it's time to get close, time to die. You'd be unhappy. What are you talking about? I've dreamed of a place that's called heaven. 'Tis made for the pure and the free, the haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. Tonight, in heaven, 2 physical bodies, Elijah's and Enoch's, are there. Let me tell you something, it's not in the sermon. I've got to fill up some time. In Revelation chapter 11, it says that Elijah and Enoch are going to come back to the earth in their physical bodies.
They haven't died yet. It's the point a man wants to die, they haven't died yet. And even their physical bodies all this time. They're coming back to the earth, and they're going to preach the gospel. And multitudes are going to get saved. And they're going to preach in Jerusalem. And the Bible says that folks are going to get mad at them, just like they always do at Baptist preachers that preach the gospel. And they're going to kill them. And Elijah and Enoch's bodies are going to be on the streets of Jerusalem. I'm just getting a little rest. I'm tired. On the streets of Jerusalem. And the Bible says they're dead bodies. And the Bible says the whole world shall see them. Now, pray tell me, how could the whole world have seen them before television came? You talk about drama, buddy. That thing Friday night's going to be boring compared to this. A television camera can be focused on Elijah and Enoch, their dead bodies. And the Bible said there are going to be parties all over the world celebrating the death of those Baptist preachers. I and David Gibbs, Randy Taylor, Mike Haynes, Bill Burr, John Vapersen, Dean Miller, a bunch of us are flying to the Philippines. Ray Young, flying to the Philippines. We got talking about it. What happened if this plane went down? Southern Baptist would have the year of Jubilee. American Hammond Ministerial Association would have a month's vacation. Be a holiday. These Baptist preachers lying dead on the streets of Jerusalem. And the television cameras come. O.J. Simpson's little journey the other day looked like play stuff. Jack Ruby killing Lee Harvey Oswald will look like imitation drama. And there those old preachers are, and they're having a party, and everybody's rejoicing. Those Baptist preachers are dead. Ha, ha, ha. But all of a sudden, the television cameras focused on those dead bodies. All of a sudden, Elijah begins to move. And the championship basketball game is taken off television. Either that or put down in the corner. And the whole world looks and sees that Baptist preacher squirming there. Man, that better be. He's been dead for 3 days. I know. So was the captain of his salvation dead for 3 days. But he got up when he wanted to after 3 days and three nights. And Elijah began. And Enoch says, I think I'll get up too. And those Baptist preachers get up and rise from the dead. You talk about drama. And they're there right now in their physical bodies. Heaven is a place because it is in a direction. Heaven is a place because it has a size. Heaven is a place because it has a wall. Heaven is a place because it has gates. Heaven is a place because the bodies have flesh and bone. Heaven is a place because bodies can be seen. Heaven is a place because two physical bodies are there. You know, I stand right here. Brother John stands over there, and I stand right here. There's a casket here, and I stand beside the casket, and I watch our people walk by, and I wonder which one's going to be next. I see you people that were 40 years old when I came here. You're 75 now. I see you people that were 50 years old. You're 85 now. I see people used to walk by the casket like this, look down at the body. I see them with a cane hobbling by right now. I wonder who it'll be next. Well, I tell you what, don't you worry a great deal about that. If you're the next one, praise God, you are going to a place that has direction, a place that has walls, a place that has a gate, has gates, a place that has flesh and bone, a place where mortal creatures, the human beings are living now. And then it's a place because of things that are there. John 14:2 says, in my Father's house. A house has to occupy space. A house is real. You say, Brother Hiles, a real house? Well, that's the only kind I know about. But you say that just me, that house stands for something. Well, why didn't God say, in my Father's standing for something house? He said, in my Father's house, and a house is real and occupies space, and that means, hallelujah, glory to God, heaven is a place. John 14:2 talks about mansions. He used to sing, I was a boy. There's a little pine log cabin waiting down in Welcome Valley. There's an open door, and when my Roman's o'er, I'm going back home. I ain't going to no little pine log cabin. If I can just live in a shack, that's a... Not me, buddy. I've been those things. And my home in heaven ain't going to have no outhouse, I guarantee you for sure. My sister and I fought more over the occupancy of that thing than anything else we ever fought over. A mansion! I said a mansion! A mansion occupies space. Picked up the newspaper the other day and said O.J. Simpson lived in a $1.2 million mansion in Brentwood. $1.2 million couldn't buy the key to the one I'm going to live in. The doorknob costs more than that. Heaven is a place because Revelation 19:14 says it has horses. Horses. Well, you say for the house, that's symbolic. Okay, what does it symbolize? What does it symbolize? A dog? Okay, a dog's real too, isn't it? And the fact that they say that the horses are symbolic mean a symbol is that which is not the real thing. They stand for something that's the real thing. You look like Jack Scott. You know that? I thought you were Jack Scott there. You better start eating it. You're going to look more like him all the time. Bible said heaven has houses. Heaven has mansions. Heaven has horses. 2 Kings 2:11 says heaven has a chariot. That's what Elijah took up there. He took a chariot. Chariots are real. Oh, you say a chariot symbolizes something. You think Elijah was in a symbolic chariot? He was in a spiritual chariot. Well, what's a spiritual chariot? Bible said, hey, this physical body of Elijah was taken into heaven in a chariot, and you've got to have a real chariot that can be touched before it can take a physical body somewhere. The Bible said in Revelation 21:13, it said a while ago, it has gates. Gates are real. It has walls in 21:14. Revelation 21:14, walls are real. Revelation 21:18 says heaven has gold in it. You say, for the house, that symbolizes... Okay, listen carefully. If something symbolizes something, what it symbolizes is always better than the symbol. So if it's not gold, it's heaped better than gold. But it's gold because God said it was gold. You can touch gold. You can touch a chariot. You can touch a mansion. You can touch a house. You can touch a horse. I'm not going to, but you can. And the Bible says when we come back to the earth and establish the kingdom, we're all coming on white horses. So there's a heap of horses up there. Heaven has mansion. Heaven has a house, houses. Heaven has walls. It has gold. Revelation 21, 19-20 says heaven has sapphire. That's real. Heaven has emerald. That's real. Heaven has topaz. That's real. Heaven has amethyst. That's real. Heaven has jasper. That's real. Revelation 19:21 says heaven has pearl. That's real. In Revelation 21:14 it says heaven has a foundation, and that's real. Revelation 21:2 says heaven is a city, and that's real. Revelation 4:1 says heaven has a door, and that's real. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 2 says heaven has a throne, and that's real. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 4 says heaven has seats, and that's real. It says heaven has clothing, and that's real. Heaven has crowns, and that's real. Revelation chapter 4, verse 5 says heaven has lamps, and that's real. Revelation 22:2 says heaven has streets, and that's real. Heaven has a river, and that's real. Heaven has fruit, and that's real. Heaven has leaves, and that's real. I want you to know tonight, but loved ones that are gone are not somewhere sleeping. They're not somewhere floating around. They live in a real city with real streets and real gates and real trees and real leaves and real rivers. They may have that too. Real rivers. Revelation chapter 21, verse 15 says, heaven has reeds. Revelation 20 and verse 12 says, heaven has books. Psalm 56 and verse 8 says, heaven has bottles. Revelation 7 verse 9, 13 and 14 says, heaven has clothing. Luke chapter 16 verse 24 implies that heaven has water. Let me tell you how real I want it to be. Don't misunderstand me. I love to live. I enjoy life. But I want to tell you something. I do not have the least little whit of fear about what's going to happen to me when I'm gone. We had a church member. When I get right here, I always want to slide down. I don't know why. Look, folks, it's... Ouch. It's summertime, folks. Let's have a good time. It's summertime. We have more fun right now than the Houston Rockets and the New York Knicks are. Had a member of our church in Garland, Texas. Bought a new house in a lovely new section of Garland. Went down, had the utilities turned on. Said, I want the utilities turned on. We bought a house out in a lovely section of town. Little lady there at the utility place said, oh, are you moving there? Yes. She said, that's a lovely section of town. You're very fortunate. And they said, well, it's just temporary. We're having another one much nicer being built. The lady said, you moving out there in that elite section? Just temporarily? I said, yeah, we have another one being built right now. It's going to be there for a while. She said, wow. And then it dawned on her what they're talking about. She said, oh, you must go to Miller Road Baptist Church. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's golden shore, and I can't feel much at home in this world anymore. There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar, for the Father waits over the way. You know, I'm so happy right now, I think I'll turn around. Let me tell you something, folks. If you don't know you're going there, you're crazy. I mean, you are crazy. Your IQ is a minus 14. You are stupid. Besides that, you ain't got no sense. Old Sam Jones said, I've done a study of my ABCs in heaven and Greek and Hebrew and hell. You're crazy. Absolutely crazy. And I'll tell you something else. If you're not trying to get a load up to go with you, you're crazy too. If you're not trying to fill up your bus, you're crazy too. Brother Lupina's taking a group to the Philippines this summer. A group, I say. He and his wife are going. She's thinking of backing out. I'm taking a group somewhere else. I'm taking a group to heaven. Yes, sir. I dreamed I searched heaven for you. Search vainly in heaven for you. So won't you prepare to meet me up there? I dreamed I searched heaven for you. Don't you look at the corpse down. Don't look at old John Penley. Now, he had to wait a while they made a bigger robe for him. But Don't look at old John Penn. Oh, my soul. Now look at Madeline and weep for her. Yeah. Don't weep because Mrs. Huber's gone. Weep for her children, her family, and those of us who will miss her. But she's in a real place. A real mansion. A real house. With real walls. With a real street. And a real river. And a real tree. And real fruit. And real leaves. And real horses. And a real wall. And a real gates. And real gold. And real amethyst. And real pearl. And real jasper. And real emerald. Heaven's real. And brother, not only is heaven real, the gospel we preach about getting there is real also. Tonight, if you're not prepared to go there in God's dear name, you realize you're a sinner and realize you're lost without God, but Jesus has paid the way to heaven. You walk down this aisle tonight and get it all settled. If you've not been getting up a load to go with you, won't you get right with God and realize it'd be a selfish thing if you go by yourself. Take somebody with you. Father, I'm going to quit. Thank you for heaven. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for heaven.